Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
How many of you here know that at some point in your walk with God, you're going to need to cry out to Him for His supernatural power? To see the supernatural work in your life. If you know who God is, you know that He is supernatural. That God is beyond what is normal. He's the creator of everything. He's the God of all creation. He's the one who was and is to come, and there is none like Him. How many of you believe that nothing is impossible with God? That He can do anything? You know, and there's, in order for us to get to that place where we begin to believe that God is supernatural and can do just about anything, in fact, He can do anything, we need to have an ingredient that is called faith. Faith is like the substance or the currency, I call it, of the kingdom. It's what keeps everything moving. And so if we look in the scriptures, we'll find that there were one or two things where Jesus was amazed. And so this morning's message is, what amazed Jesus? And it's interesting because the way that I got onto this message is someone actually sent me a message this week and said, did you know that Jesus was amazed by two things? And they are very closely related. And so I thought, when I sent them a message back immediately and said, I need to preach on this. Because this is something I think the church needs to hear. And so we're going to take a look this morning at what amazed Jesus, and then at the end we can ask ourselves, are we amazing Him, and how do we amaze Him? So let's go in our Bibles to Matthew 8, verse number 5. When you read Scripture, make sure you take the time to grasp the fullness of what's happening in that story. What's actually taking place? I think many times we read over stories that we've heard perhaps many times, and we miss the small things that make the story just so powerful. And in this specific story, there's a lot of interesting things that make the story a lot more powerful than I think we tend to give it credit for. So we'll skip over it really quick, but this is one of those very powerful stories. So let's go in the scriptures together. Matthew 8, verse number 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him. Let's stop right there. The first thing I want you to see is where Jesus is. He's in Capernaum, or Capernaum. Many people pronounce it differently. But Capernaum was basically a small city that was on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus spent a lot of His time in Capernaum and ministering in the small cities around Capernaum. And also, Capernaum happened to be the place where Peter's house was. In fact, if you go there today to Capernaum, you can actually see where Peter's house was. It's still there, which is pretty cool. And you get to see where Jesus lived and what He would do, because obviously when He went to Galilee, that's where He would stay. He would stay in Peter's house. And so we know this from Scripture, and we know that the people had obviously seen Jesus come through this area many, many times. The second thing I want you to see is that there's a centurion that comes to Him. What we need to understand is this centurion is not an Israeli. He's not a Hebrew person. He's not Jewish. And so he comes to the Lord, but he's outside of covenant with God. So he's a Gentile, like you and I are Gentiles. But thank God we have the blood of Jesus. But he's outside of covenant. So actually, there's nothing owed to him in any way. There's no promises, there's no nothing. He's just basically an outsider. But he comes to the Lord, and remember, centurions were leaders amongst the Roman armies. They were highly esteemed leaders, and they were very respected. And it's interesting because we can see that the centurion comes to Jesus, and the Bible tells us that he pleaded with Him, or he was pleading with Him. So we know that when this highly esteemed Roman comes to this Jewish teacher, he comes to him desperate. He comes to him pleading to him. He comes with you know, absolutely just really just crying out because he needs the supernatural. He needs God to do something miraculous. Now remember, I said to you, he's in Capernaum or Capernaum. And so obviously the centurion knew about Jesus, had either seen the miracles he had done or heard about the miracles he had done. But he believed that this was somebody special. He believed that this Jesus was not just an ordinary person. In fact, the Bible will tell us in just a moment that he really believed that God would do something amazing. And so he goes, and the first thing he does, in verse number 6, it says, so he went pleading with him, saying, Lord. And that's important. We need to overemphasize this. You see, when he goes to Jesus, he doesn't go to him and say, teacher. He doesn't go to him and say, even, you know, rabbi. He doesn't say anything. He goes to him and he says, Lord. He goes and he says, Lord. In other words, he recognized that this man was not an ordinary man. This man was somebody special, and calls him Lord, which is astounding, because again, this is not a Jewish person. This is not one of the children of Israel, a Hebrew. He's just a centurion, just a leader of the Roman armies. And normally they would look down on the Jews. They would treat them as they were, because they were an oppressed nation, the Jewish nation at that stage. And so this is completely out of the ordinary. And I need you to recognize that. This is completely out of the ordinary. Then he says this, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And it's interesting because most people don't know this, but the word servant there is not an ordinary word. It actually doesn't mean servant. What it actually means is little one or little child. The Greek word there actually means or tells us that this person that he's asking for prayer for is someone very young. And perhaps some scholars believe that this may even have been his child, but it was not supposed to be his child, and we don't want to get into all of that, but centurions were supposed to not really be doing anything like that at that stage. So he comes to the Lord and he cries out for the servant, or this little child, really. And again, we don't know if it was his servant's child or if it was his child, but we know from Scripture that he actually was a child, that this person was a child. And he says this, he's laying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And the language here in the New King James is really good, because it tells us that this child was tormented, which actually suggests demonic oppression of some form. So this child was probably, you know, being inflicted by demon spirits. And again, the centurion has gone to Jesus, recognizing who Jesus is, recognizing that he is the Lord, that he is the only one that has the answer to this big problem. Probably by reputation, probably by what he had seen or heard. And then he says to Jesus, Jesus says to him, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And at that point, we're like, that's great. He's going to come and heal him. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus, after I've cried out to him, now you see, this is why I say we miss the power of it. Because you must recognize everything that's taken place. The centurion has humbled himself. The centurion has come to the Lord, pleaded with him. He's come to the Lord, recognized that he is the Lord. Jesus doesn't hesitate. It's like, I'm going to heal him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to come. But the story goes beyond that. So Jesus says, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Let's stop there for a moment. Look at this. This is really powerful. If you had to be in this situation, now I can only put myself in this situation. How many of you, if Jesus said, listen, I'll come and heal your child, is going to tell him, listen, you don't have to come. You can just speak the word. Listen, I can tell you right now, if it was me, I'd say, Jesus, whatever you're doing, thank you. Let's go to my house. Just come with me quickly, because I know that you're the only one who can lay hands on him. I know that you're the only one who can touch him. I know that you're the only, I need you to come and do it. But you see, the centurion goes beyond what is normal. The centurion goes beyond what is natural. He does something absolutely astounding. He says to the Lord, listen, You don't have to come. And I'm thinking to myself when I read this, is he crazy? Jesus has said he's willing to come and you're saying no. But there's so much packed into this because he goes on and he says, put the scripture up for me, please, guys. The same one that I just read. There we go. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Again, we see an incredible amount of humility coming from someone of stature. And then he says to him, only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Go to the next verse for us. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and do it, and he does it. Next verse. And when Jesus heard it, watch this, he marveled. Jesus marveled, guys. When Jesus saw this man, that wasn't even the one who he came for initially. Remember, he came first to his own, and his own rejected him. This is an outsider that believes that Jesus is Lord. This is an outsider that says, listen, I recognize who you are. You don't even have to come to my house. If you say it will be so, it will be so. I want you to know that Jesus' word has not changed. And the power in his word remains the same right now. The question is, are you willing to believe that he still does what he says he will do? Are you willing to believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'll take you because you are Lord. You are God. You are the ruler of everything. You are the one who was and is to come. You have been placed and seated high above, far above all principalities and power, that it doesn't matter what the enemy says. You are the one who will bring deliverance. You are the one who will bring healing. You see, when we have faith unusual, when we believe that God will actually do something supernatural, I want you to know that Jesus marvels. He is amazed. And as I always say, that faith is like the currency of the kingdom. As soon as you step out like that, and everything the centurion does shows us that he had an unusual faith, shows us that he completely trusted and completely believed. Because if he didn't, there is no way he would have said, you don't have to come. Just speak the word. Man, there's no way. I have a lot of faith, but I'm telling you, I would have told him to come to my house. But this guy didn't, and he stepped out. He stepped out of what was normal. See, like the woman with the issue of blood, she went beyond what was normal. She took a step of faith. She did what was normal. The blind man, when he cried out to the Lord, he cried out. Everybody else was silent, but he cried out. He went beyond. He took a step of faith. He believed. And that's what God is always looking for from you and I. He's looking for a people who will go beyond what is normal and have a faith unusual. And that kind of faith causes the Lord to be amazed. Isn't that powerful? Let's just read a little bit more what it says. Verse number 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith. Man, I would love the Lord to speak about my faith that way. I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, that's so powerful because what it speaks about is it speaks about you and me. There's going to be a place for some of us at the table with Abraham and Isaac. Oh, I don't know about you, but that's kind of exciting. That's kind of exciting to me. Maybe the centurion is sitting at the table with Abraham and Isaac. Like I said last week, I can't get this out of my head that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but he believed God. We have to believe God. We have to take God at his word, and we have to trust that he will move because he has not changed. He says, but the sons of the kingdom, in other words, those that are saved, will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we can have a long conversation about what that really means, because those in those days, they understood what that meant. But we'll do that another day. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. I want you to recognize that it all starts with him recognizing who Jesus is. Now, that's a powerful story, right? But Jesus also marveled again, one other time in Scripture. And it's amazing how the two are so closely related. This morning, I want you to take two things away from this. Number one, what Jesus can do in you when you have faith. I also want you to see what he will do through you when you have faith. You see, the Lord also wants to use you, and he'll use you when you believe, when you have faith, when you have this unusual faith. Now, this story that I'm about to share with you, we're going to read out of the Gospel of Mark. But I want you to know that the one I just read out of Matthew has already taken place in the timeline of Jesus' life. So they'd already seen this. Now we're about to see a story that takes place later in the life of Jesus. So let's go to Mark 6, verse number 1. Mark 6, verse number 1. Remember, guys, the Bible is very specific in what words it puts in there for you and I to read. Watch this now. Mark 6, verse number 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. I want you to see that Scripture is intentional here to let you know that when Jesus went to his own country, which is Nazareth, Jesus is going to Nazareth, where he was raised, where he was a little boy, where he grew up. And when he goes there, the Bible wants us to see that he took his disciples with him. Specifically wants to tell us this. Many times when Jesus goes somewhere, it doesn't say whether his disciples are with him or not. We can assume, and we might read a little bit here in one gospel and here in the other gospel to put the pieces together. But in this gospel, it's clearly defined, wanting you and I to understand that he took his disciples with, and probably because he wanted to teach them something. He wanted them to see something. Now remember, they have seen Jesus marvel at great faith. Now he goes to his own city of Nazareth, and something powerful is about to happen. Verse number 2. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? So the first thing that comes out of their mouth as they see Jesus is, wow, this guy, whoever he is, he speaks with such wisdom. And where does he get the ability to do these mighty works through his hands? So in other words, when he gets to Nazareth, something good must have been happening. Jesus must have been teaching and maybe even performing miracles, or maybe they heard about the miracles, but there's no question that they could see or heard that mighty works were performed in his hands, by his hands. Do you see it? But suddenly, something changes. Suddenly, they don't recognize him the way that he really is. And the Bible says this, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And so they were offended at him. You see, immediately what happens is they don't look at him anymore as this incredible teacher, this possible Messiah, this point one that came to deliver, that speaks with this wisdom and this power and authority. But suddenly they look at him and go, man, he's just that little kid that grew up in town. Another gospel says, is this not Joseph's little boy? Is this not the carpenter? Is this not Mary's little son, the brother of Judas and James? Isn't that him? And the Bible tells us that they were offended because who does he think he is? He's just a normal guy. And then take a look at what the Bible says. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." Let's stop there for a moment, because we need to break this down again. "Now he could do no mighty work there." Listen, you can examine the text in the original language if you want to, but what it means is he couldn't do miracles there. Although I have to be honest, again, when I look at the Bible, I look at it plainly. He could do no magic, he could do no great works there, but he laid his hands on a few sick people and they got well. I mean, that's pretty awesome, you know. But maybe there was a level that was with Jesus normally that just wasn't there. You see, something had shifted and changed, and he could do no mighty works. He couldn't do it. Well, don't get offended, because that's what the Bible says. And if you study it in the original language, that's what it says. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do many mighty works. Now watch. "And he marveled." In other words, he was amazed. Why was he amazed? He was amazed because of their unbelief. You see, Jesus was amazed at the centurion because the centurion had great belief or great faith. These people didn't recognize him, who he was, and they had a lack of faith or unbelief. And because of their unbelief, the supernatural was not operating in their life. Couldn't operate in their life. You see, that's how many of us are in the church. We get to see God do things, but we don't get to see the greater works. We don't get to see God move powerfully in our lives the way that He really wants to. And the reason why is because we don't really believe. What is it that we don't believe? That He is Lord. You see, if you really believe that He is Lord of your life, and you really give your heart to Him and believe fully that He is Lord, you will see Him operate as Lord in your life. But the problem with us is that so many of us just see Him as a carpenter. So many of us just see Him as somebody that was just Joseph's little boy, or somebody that was Mary's little child. Or maybe we recognize Him as a prophet or think that He doesn't do it anymore. Maybe you believe He's Lord, but you don't believe He does it anymore. You see, as soon as you don't believe, you will not see Him do these things in your life. Jesus marveled at two things. He marveled at great faith, and then He marveled when there was no faith. Because can you imagine, in that moment, He's able to see that God isn't moving. Because the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to have this faith. I don't know about you, but I want God to move powerfully in my life. I want to see great works. I want to see mighty miracles. I want to see Him the way that He is. I don't expect anything more from the Lord than for Him to be who He is. I want to see Him be the God of all creation. I want to see Him be the King of kings. I want to see Him be the Lord of lords. I want to see Him be a deliverer. I want to see Him be a healer. I want to see Him be a restorer. And I think I have the right to do that. And the way to achieve that is only to believe. All I have to believe is that He is the Lord. He is my Savior. He is my deliverer. And His hand will begin to move mightily in my life. But it's interesting because the story actually gets a little bit more interesting. So maybe we should take a look at it. What do you think? Are you guys okay this morning? Amen. I told you this morning will be short because we had the drama, so I didn't prepare a long message. Is that okay? You're supposed to say no. I only got one no. Yeesh. So verse number 6 says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit teaching." And verse number 7 says this, "And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. Let's go to verse number 11, please. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from these, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Let's just stop there. You can take it off the screen for me, please. Thank you. I think this is incredible. You see, everything happens for a reason in Scripture, pretty much in your life as well, in some or other way. But what happens is Jesus allows his disciples to see great faith with the centurion. Now in this story, he takes them, and the Bible tells us that the disciples were with him when he went to Nazareth. And he shows them what happens when there's no faith, that no great works are going to take place. Now he says to his disciples, listen, it's time. I'm going to pray for you and release you to go out. And when you go out, you will cast out demons in my name. You will pray for the sick and they'll get healed. You're going to see mighty miracles. And I want you to know something, that when you go and they don't receive you, when there's no faith, don't worry about it. Shake it off and keep on going. You see, many of us think that sometimes because God doesn't move, that suddenly we must give up and God's not with us or God's not moving. Listen, you must shake it off and keep on going. You must shake it off and keep on believing. You must shake it off and keep on standing. Can you say amen? You see, God wants you to have faith, but when you minister with all of your zeal and all of your passion, and let me tell you something, if anybody had passion, it was Jesus. But when he went to a place where there was no faith, he could do nothing. And so Jesus prepared his disciples, and he's preparing you and I that you may encounter people in your journey. You may encounter places where there's no faith. And if nothing happens, get up and keep on going. Don't think, woe is me. It's because of my sin. It's because of my faults. It's because of my weaknesses. You're going to have those anyway. But the fact is that he is still a healer. He is still a deliverer. He is still almighty, and he will still move. All you have to look for is a little bit of faith. Well, whose faith is important? Mine or theirs? Both. Both. Sometimes your faith will be enough, but sometimes theirs will be far more than yours. But one thing is clear, that if there's an absence of faith from the recipient, no faith. No belief, no trust at all. When they don't recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord, nothing's going to happen. You see, and here's the question this morning. You have a choice of how you will amaze him. Will you amaze him with great faith, or are you going to amaze him with unbelief? But your life is a story. Your journey, your story, your salvation is a story that's busy being written. And are you causing the Lord to marvel at your faith? Or is he marveling at our unbelief? So take a hold of him, guys. Take a hold of the Lord. The way that he is, healer, deliverer, savior, mighty God, protector. Have faith for your own life and also for others. And look for faith wherever you go. Somebody's got to do it. That's what we are here to do. Equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry. Where? Outside of the four walls of the church. This is where you get equipped, but ministry takes place outside the church. And you can't stop just because one day you prayed and nothing happened. You can't stop because one day you spoke and you were rejected. You can't stop. Shake it off and keep on going. You see, the faith is there with the one who keeps on going. But when you stop, it's like you've stopped believing that he will move. We must never stop. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning in this place, Father, your word, it is so powerful. It is so filled with life, Lord. When we preach and speak your word, read your word, Father, it has the potential to breathe life into dry bones. It has the potential to resurrect dead things. It has the potential to restore and to heal, to deliver. Your word, Lord, it's so powerful. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. And I pray, Lord, that we would become a people that would have an unusual faith, Lord. That would have a faith that would desire to see mountains moved. That would have a faith, Lord, that would take it the way that it is. Ever, ever the same, ever powerful, ever available to us to see your hand move. King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, I pray for everyone in this place this morning that you will increase our faith, Father. That you will cause us, Lord, to rise up and become everything you've caused us to be. Lord, I pray that we will see your mighty hand in our families, in our children, in our businesses, in life as we know, and everywhere we go and the things that we do. Father, we ask that you would have your way. Our desire is that your will be done, Lord, that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you do for us. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you as you leave this place. Go and believe and trust in him and watch what he does in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.